Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. Today we are going to have a guest, BJ Gallagher. She's been on my show before. She's just quite a prolific writer. But this little book that she put together, she titled, If God is Your Co-Pilot, Switch Seats. Miracles Happen When You Let Go. BJ, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks, Donna. Nice to be here.
Well, it's a delight having you on the air again. Now, I want my audience, because we probably have listeners that have not been aware of your being on the show before, you are a Huffington Post blogger. You've appeared on the Today Show, CBS Evening News, CNN, PBS, Fox News, and a lot of people enjoy you, just like I do, and that's
Thank
a
you.
Wonderful thing. Now, you really are impassioned and delighted to call yourself a writer.
Yes.
You've also done business books, but you really lately have gotten more into the inspirational side. Why has that been the turn for you, BJ? What is it that's moving you to go in that direction?
Well, it's interesting. It's almost like I've come full circle. Most people don't know, but I actually wrote my very first book back in 1985. Was a little Christian book called Telling Your Story, Exploring Your Faith. And it was about life history writing as a way of reconciliation and exploration of your spiritual life. And then I didn't write again for 10 years, and the next book I wrote was a business book. And then I wrote a few more business books, and then some self-help books and some women's books. And so now I've really come full circle, and I'm back to writing spiritual books, which is where I started. And my next book, which will be out in February, is actually a combination of two genres. It's called Being Buddha at Work. And so it's about spirituality and business. So those are my, you know, those are my interests. So it's really nothing new. It's actually something old.
Just put into a different costume.
Exactly.
You, with this little book, you really wanted to convey not only experiences that you have had, but the awareness that sometimes we have what we'll describe as miracles in our lives, and we can't see them because we're so engrossed in whatever's going on. I think of someone that I was speaking with earlier today, and I can totally empathize with this person. They are in such a sense of grief, just absolutely grieving over certain circumstances in their life, that they really can't hear anything that's said to them because the grief has wrapped them so tightly that it's hard. They don't know how to release it and let it go, and it's something they're just going to have to live through. And as this person said,
exactly,
it stinks. I don't like it.
You put it well, that the best way out is always through. And sometimes it's the only way out. You just have to go through it.
You do. And as I shared with this individual, there are no shortcuts. I don't know of anyone that doesn't have scars of living, disappointments, distortions. They've been lied to, or they've gone through tremendous physical adversity. There's just so many variables that life presents, and it is part of finding out about who we are to a degree, I think. And it's, I'm not saying we're standing out on a street corner and saying, okay, yeah, I think I'll take, you know, oh, let's see, about 10 years of misery. Yes, I think I'll be happy with that. You can throw it on me. Pour it on me. That doesn't bother me. No, I don't think anybody stands out there doing that. But the life does happen, and it is usually quite a surprise when it hits, and it's something we have to grow through. I love what you said about Mother Teresa. and a description she had of her work. She said,
yes.
I am a little pencil in the hand of a writing God who is sending a love letter to the world. That was just marvelous. That I just
Isn't
loved
it great?
That.
Isn't it great? I love that too. So I borrowed it from her. And my version is, I should probably have this put on my business cards or something, but my version is, I'm a laptop in the hands of God. And that's what I do. My gifts are teaching and writing, mm-hmm. and my job is to give them away. Mm-hmm. So I spend a lot of time at the laptop, but I really feel like I'm a channel. I'm the messenger, but I'm not the message.
Mm-hmm. And I think that can be applied to just about anyone, really, at various times in life. We don't mm-hmm. realize that we're being utilized in that capacity, but I think that that's very, very true. You have a poem right at the beginning of your book titled Surrender, and I wanted to share it with my audience. Have you ever lost your car keys? You look and look and look and look until finally you run out of places to search. So you go back and look in all the old places again and again and again, but alas, no keys. Finally, exhausted, frustrated, hopeless, and out of steam, you throw your hands up in the air. I give up. The keys are lost. You let go and move on. Just about then, the most amazing thing happens. Suddenly, sometimes immediately, your keys turn up. Ha! There they are, right in front of me, you exclaim. How about that? Your day is made. What was given up for lost is amazingly found, and all is right with the world again. What a miracle, you marvel, and you're right. It's the miracle of surrender. When you finally give up trying to solve all your problems by yourself, when you stop struggling and accept life on life's terms, when you admit that you can't control the world around you, that's when miracles happen. And I love that poem. That's just really lovely.
Thank you. It's true. It's true. I've had that experience many times, not just with car keys, but with trying to make things happen. And I think in America, we're a really type A culture.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're trained to take initiative, take charge, make things happen, create your own destiny. And we're surrounded with messages that tell us that's good, that's appropriate, we should do that. And yet, what happens is I think we slip into self-will, and we slip into, it's very easy to slip into ego, and I want, and it's about me, and I'm the center of the universe, and I should have my heart's desire, and we it's very easy to just completely lose touch with the fact that there's some sort of higher power or higher consciousness that runs the universe. And that we're like little ants. We're like a speck of dust. And for us to think that we know what's best for the world, or that we even know what's best for ourselves much of the time, is our little human ego getting out of control.
Well, I think sometimes that's necessary, though, because if we're not out there pushing a little bit, if we sit back like pieces of Pillsbury Doughboy, we're not going to end up looking like that, but we're also not going to get very much done. So I think we sort of need a mixture of both. I think we need to know how to flow, and yet at the same time, get up off our duffs and realize that we have to perform in life. Your book didn't come about because you sat and just
right.
meditated on a star
right.
in the middle of another galaxy saying, oh, please, write it for me.
Right.
No.
Right.
You had to have the discipline, and you had to have the desire, and you had to put the action out.
Yes, but what has to happen first, for me, and the whole message of the book is, first of all, make sure that my will is aligned with the divine order, or God's will, or however you want to phrase that, that to make sure that I'm in alignment with my place in the world and natural order of things, and then get into action. But where I just speak from experience, where I've made mistakes in the past, many of them, is forgetting about God's will or forgetting about anybody else's will, but just charging out there saying, I want this to happen and I want that to happen, without checking to see if that's, you know, really what needed to be done or if that's what the best thing is to be done. One of the metaphors I use in the book is the metaphor of, God is electricity. And say I'm a toaster. And if I plug myself in to the electric outlet, I can make toast all day long, and it's pretty easy. My job is to make toast. But if I forget to plug myself in, if I'm just sitting there on the kitchen counter going, I'm going to make toast, I'm going to make toast, A, I can't do it because I have divorced myself from my power source, and I'm just not able to function what I'm supposed to be doing in the world. So that's, I don't know if that's helpful or not, but that's really sort of the spirit of the whole thing. It's not that I sit here and do nothing and ask God to do it all, but the very first step is making sure that I'm plugged into my power source and that I'm behaving according to how that power source would have me. I'm doing my job in the world. I'm not trying to do yours or my next-door neighbor's or somebody else's. I'm doing what I was put here to do, which is make toast.
Yes, and there's an adage that's been tossed around in so many various forms. Take care of your own backyard and don't worry about anybody else's.
Exactly.
You just take care of your own space, clean it up, do what you have to
do,
pay attention to it, and don't worry about the rest of the stuff. And you're doing quite a bit more than most people do.
Because
we get distracted.
We can't control what other people do anyway. And when we try to make them clean up their side of the street, you know, all hell breaks loose. I mean, people don't want to be controlled by other people. And so the best, I love what Gandhi said. He said, my life is my message.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're being who you were meant to be in the world, people will be attracted to that, and they'll be inspired by it, and then they'll go be who they're meant to be in the world.
That is what we would hope would be the ultimate. You have a delightful story in here about a little girl and a man named George.
George, I love that story.
Yes, I think this is just priceless. You've got to share that with my audience.
I will be happy to. And I don't know if this is a true story or not, or if it's apocryphal, but I thought it was a great story, so I included it in the book, that there was a guy named George who decided he was going to ride his bicycle on a cable across Niagara Falls. And so he strung the cable. He had helpers getting him the cable strung. And then he was getting his bicycle ready. And all morning as he was getting prepared, people were gathering around and curious about what he was up to. And when they found out, they got really excited. And they were like, oh, wow, that's so great. You know, well, we know you can do it. We have confidence. You go, George, you go. And he put the bicycle on the cable and he headed out across the falls. And everybody was ecstatic. And he made it across to the other side. And the crowd on the other side erupted in cheers. And lo and behold, he turned around and rode back again, and everybody was just thrilled. So he arrived safely back where he started, and then he said, okay, I'm going to do it again. But this time, I'm going to take somebody with me. Who wants to ride on my handlebars? And the crowd fell silent, like, oh, no. You know, we thought you were great, but we're not going to go do that. And then this little girl steps forward, and she said, I'll go. And he said, great. And he picks her up, and then the crowd starts to get mad. You hear this sort of muttering, like, you know, somebody should stop him, and, you know, he shouldn't take that. He shouldn't endanger somebody else's life. And then they started getting angry, but he didn't pay any attention. He just put the little girl on the handlebars, and he heads out across the falls. The crowd is, they're holding their breath like, oh, my God, he's going to kill that little girl and himself. He makes it to the other side. The crowd is still not happy with him, though. He turns around and he rides back. And he gets back to where he started, and he puts the little girl down on the ground, and the crowd gathered around her and said, oh, we're so glad you're okay. Oh, my God, we were so worried. And where are your parents? And, you know, oh, my goodness, this is, what made you do that? And the little girl just looked up at him, and she said, well, you believed in him, but I trusted him. He's my daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a great metaphor for God, that George is God, that we say we believe in God, but we don't really trust God. You know, we say all these great things. We espouse our belief and our faith, but when it comes to actually putting our butt on the handlebars and letting God ride us through life, it's like, oh, no, that's too scary. That's too scary.
You have a story in here about life as a cookie, and I thought that was it was really, really cook. You know, just it was a cookie of a story. And I enjoyed the descriptions people would use, but this one had a twist to it. It was a surprise about life.
Yeah, what, I don't have that in front of me. If you want to read that one, that's from Rachel Naomi Remen's book. I think
she's a doctor.
Kitchen Table Wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a doctor, and yeah, that's a great story. You want to read that one?
Well, I'm going to share it because it's
great.
Very succinct, and anything that has to do with cookies, especially chocolate chip, I got it. I have to go with it. I mean, this is just the reality of life. And she talks about her patient, who was a very, very successful businessman, and that he ended up getting cancer, and in his chatting with her, he said that before he got cancer, he'd become depressed over the littlest things. And he said happiness was having a cookie. If you had the cookie, things were good. If you didn't have the cookie, life wasn't worth a darn. However, he realized that the cookies kept changing. Sometimes the cookie was money. Other times it was a new car, a big contract, the most prestigious address. And he said he realized after a period of time that he had forgotten how to live. You see, when I was a kid, he said, I would be happy with the smallest of things. And he said, my son, if I give him a cookie, he's happy. If I take the cookie away or it breaks, he's unhappy. He said, but my kid's 2 and a half and I'm 43. He said, did just doesn't work with me in the same way it does for him. He said, the minute you have the cookie, it starts to crumble, or you start to worry about it crumbling, or about someone trying to take it away from you. You have to give up a lot of things to take care of the cookie, to keep it from crumbling, and be sure that no one takes it away from you, as I just said. You may not even get a chance to eat it, because you're so busy just trying not to lose it. Having the cookie is not what life is about. And her patient said that cancer totally changed his life. He said for the first time he was happy. Now, that is not something you would think you'd hear out of a person who has cancer. Words like that coming out of someone's mouth is just not what you'd expect at all. He said that 2 years before, when he got diagnosed with cancer, cancer asked him, okay, what's important? What is really important? And he said, life is important. Life. Any way you can have it. Life with the cookie, life without the cookie. Happiness doesn't have anything to do with a cookie. It has to do with being alive before. Who made time? And he said to her, damn, I guess life is the cookie.
Amen.
And that, to me, is so very, very poignant. And it brings to mind a story that a good friend of mine shared with me. She was visiting a friend who did have cancer and was in the last stages. She was dying. And she was sitting there with her friend, and they were enjoying something. I don't remember what it was. But Carolyn said, her friend looked at her very quietly and said, Carolyn, how many hot fudge sundaes have we denied ourselves because of the calories? And they just broke out laughing, and she said, oh, so many, I don't count. She said, well, let's have one. And it's something that I think so many times we get so engrossed in what we think isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's really something, and life is so very, very special.
Mm-hmm.
It really is very special. And I just think sometimes we have to get out of our little boxes of mm-hmm. distortion, whatever may be around, and just take a deep breath and say, gee, I'm grateful. It's
mm-hmm.
just something that we have to do, because we do many times get so engrossed in responsibilities. My goodness, we got enough stuff on the news every day to make us realize that there's a lot of garbage going on in the world and a lot of people that are making very, very bad decisions. But that doesn't have to be us.
Right.
We don't have to be there.
I agree. And I think a big part of it is just this thing we all have inside of us, which is the ego. It's always, you know, trying to puff itself up and make ourselves the center of the universe. And when we look at the world through ego, it gets distorted. Like a girlfriend of mine asked me last week, she sent me an email saying, you know, I had posted something about those who deserve love least need it the most. And she said, what about that jerk who cut me off on the freeway that I was yelling at this morning? And I, like, do I have to love him too? And I emailed her back and I said, well, when that happens to me, I have to ask myself, have I ever been the jerk who cut somebody else off? Mm-hmm. And the answer is usually yes. So I lose the right to get mad. But the second part of that is it really important? I mean, we get our knickers in a twist over stuff that in the overall scheme of things doesn't matter a gnat's eyelash. It's just we get all upset over stuff that just doesn't matter, and it's not worth 1 second of upset or anger or cursing, or it's just like, oh my gosh, have you totally lost there are things worth getting upset about.
Mm-hmm.
Child cruelty, animal cruelty, war. I mean, there's things worth getting upset about. But the stuff that most of us get upset about every day, it's really silly. It's just not worth the energy we put out. And what happens is we deprive ourselves of so much happiness and joy and peace because we lose sight of all the beauty that's around us. We get so focused on what isn't working that we totally lose focus on what is.
I agree. I've been guilty of that. I've been guilty of
that. We all have. We're human.
What I find usually will work is if I take a nap. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to take a nap.
My son told me an interesting story. A couple of weeks ago, I mean, he was really down in the dumps about money and why wasn't his business doing better and he wasn't making enough money. And so he called this this guy that he knew that was, you know, had a lot of financial insight. And so he voiced his complaint and this isn't working and that isn't working. And the guy listened to it all and he says, well, let me ask you a question. He said, how's the rest of your life working? And my son said, let me think for a second. Well, let's see. I guess it's okay. You know, I'm healthy and my family's all fine. And, you know, I've got a cute girlfriend and, yeah, I've got a place to live and my dog is fine and I've got a good car to, you know, well, now that I think of it, like 90% of my life is pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the money part. And the guy said, well, what do you think about that? And my son said, I think I'm happy. He had just lost perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And was looking at the 10% of his life that he wasn't happy with and totally overlooking the 90% of his life that's working beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
And it really shifted his energy. And you know what happened? After the energy shifted, money started rolling in. He's got more business. Something totally shifted. He's got business coming in the door. He's got clients calling him. He's got money in the bank because he started focusing on what was right in his life and didn't give all the power to what was wrong.
That's a very powerful lesson. And he's very fortunate as a young man to be able to learn that.
Yeah.
To have that.
He pays attention. He pays
attention,
yeah.
That is really super. You've got one story in here about a wise Buddhist master that apparently told you, when you are considering someone to be your guru or teacher, first go for a ride with him or her in their car. That'll tell you much about whether or not he or she is the right person for you. And that's really true.
That would be
a very good lesson.
That's true. Well, there's that old saying that how you do one thing is how you do everything. And so I had a very powerful lesson of this some years ago. I was on my way to a cocktail party across town, and I was all dressed up and looked really pretty, but I was running late, and I was in a hurry, and I zoomed through what I thought was a yellow light, but it was, I guess, kind of reddish.
Kind of reddish?
And those, we have some of those red light cameras out here, and there was this flash, and I thought, I instantly knew what it was, and I went, oh, rats. But I just kept going. So a few weeks later, a ticket shows up in the mail, and with my license plate, and a, they take a picture of your the front of your car, including you. I mean, there you are behind the wheel. And I looked at this picture of myself, all dressed up, really pretty, and I looked insane. I was reaching over to the right-hand seat to get the directions because I was a little bit lost, and I was kind of frantic, and my mouth was open, and I was scowling, and I just looked like a crazy woman. And I looked at that, and I went, oh, my God. It was a wake-up. I thought, I was insane. Oh, my, and it snapped me right out of it. And ever since, I don't drive like that anymore. And it wasn't the money, because they're very expensive tickets. Now they're up to like $450. They're very expensive tickets.
Ooh.
Back then it was about $250, and they're really expensive. But what I saw was I was insane, and I was letting something as foolish as running late to a cocktail party endanger my life, endanger other people's lives by zooming through a red light, by not driving safely. And I just said, that's it. I'm done. No more crazy drive. If I'm late, I'm late. Who cares? But I had to see it in the mirror. I had to see that picture of myself in my insanity.
I think that's fabulous. Did you frame it?
No. I threw it away. I was horrified. I paid the ticket and went, wow, that was an expensive lesson.
Oh, my goodness.
But it may have saved my life. It may have saved somebody else's life.
Mm-hmm. I think that is really very wise to be able to look at something in that way. And not go down to pay your ticket and say, excuse me, I think your camera needs to be fixed because I didn't look good at all. I think it's great that you were able to benefit from this because it really is important. My husband and I have often talked about this, and he had a situation once where he was so anxious and he went through a red light. My husband's a very, very careful driver typically, but he was so preoccupied, he was stressed, he said if the other people hadn't been paying attention, he said I would have been dead,
right?
Because I was in a small car, and if they had just been traveling at normal speeds, we would have had a tremendous collision. He said when I became aware of it, I was in the middle of the intersection.
So
that was where it really a very powerful lesson for him. He said, you can get distracted and get preoccupied and really cause some problems.
Right. And you know, and the whole thing is about just being present. And we have to slow down a little bit. We're such a fast-moving people. We love speed. We're all in a hurry. Have you noticed how the internet has just accelerated our impatience? We're not good at delayed gratification. You know, we're just in a hurry. We've got places to go and people to see, and by God, get out of my way.
Mm-hmm.
And we hurt each other. We hurt ourselves when we do that, and we hurt each other. I mean, there's been a big controversy here in Los Angeles about those red light cameras, and you know, people are upset about them, and this and that, and violation of privacy. And I think, they save lives.
Mm-hmm.
That if your picture is taken because you're zooming through a red light, you are endangering yourself and you're endangering other people. Running red lights kills people. And they just don't see it. What they see is, I'm inconvenienced, my privacy is violated, it's expensive, blah, 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 blah. And I just think, oh, it's all about you, isn't it? It's all about you.
Fascinating. BJ, you're a doll. I enjoy having you on the air. I really thought this book was delightful.
Thank you.
Those of you listening, you can get this book. It's titled, If God is Your Co-Pilot, Switch Seats. It would make a wonderful gift for an individual. BJ, what's your website?
IfGodIsYourCoPilot.com.
If God is your co copilot.com.
And if people go there, there's a wonderful little 2-minute internet movie that we made, or they can just go straight to the movie, and that is If God Is Your Copilot movie.com. And there's a lovely inspirational message there for people who want to check it out.
Oh, that's fabulous. BJ, keep up the good work. It's just always so much fun having you on the air. It is just a delight. This book has just got so many wonderful stories in it. And I appreciate you taking the time out of your writing schedule, which I know is a busy one, and all your speaking and everything else that you're doing. Take care. Have a fabulous weekend, and I look forward to your next publication.
Thanks so much, Donna. Talk to you soon.
Okay, BJ. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. If you would like to give me a buzz and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I'd be delighted to do exactly that. We have a toll-free number of 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Give me a buzz, and all I need from you is your first name or initial, and then after that, sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask a question about anything that is on your mind. Again, 888-627-6008. Well, it's here tomorrow. There, for those of you in Western Washington, I am going to be appearing both in the capacity of participating as in a booth at the Ascension Foundation's program tomorrow, Saturday, July the 30th. It's being held at the Best Western Plus River's Edge in Seattle, Tukwila, Washington, and it's an all-day affair. The first portion of the event, it's free admission to the public from 10 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. There's going to be healers there. I'm going to be there along with a number of other people that will be doing readings, and I'll be doing many consultations. I'll have Buku books there, and little angels and all kinds of different things that we'll be able to share with you. And then in the evening, after the doors close at 4:30, the room is going to be set up for the evening's special event, where there is going to be demonstration of mediumship skills in various levels. There's going to be music. There's going to be all kinds of activity. I am a VIP speaker, and Michael, who is a transphysical phenomena medium, is going to be giving demonstrations as well. So if you want to come out, if you want to find out more about this, go to their website, theascensionfoundation.com, or you can give them a call at 206-356-6356. They'll have stuff posted on their website. If you want to go to my newsletter at delphiinternational.com, you'll find information there that's in the newsletter for the month of July. Wow, this month has just gone by so fast. It's hard to believe. Just around the corner, we have got the Renaissance Fair that's going to be coming up at Bonnie Lake, and we're going to be having someone on the air with us next week talking about it. before a little bit of time, but more than that, I have, I believe, one ticket left, one family pass left. So if you would like to get a free family pass, I've got one left. Get in touch with me. Call my office at 253-582-5604 or send me an email. Send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's right. That's what we'll be doing. Oh, by the way, next week we've got a great lineup of people. Ron Phillips. We're going to be talking about his book, Donny Boy. Oh, this is just such a wonderful, wonderful book. We're in summertime, and having fiction items to read, I think, is something that's a joy to so many people. Well, Donny Boy is one of that. Then Beyond the Edge by Amy Hyneman, Dare to Change Your Job and Your Life, Carol Kancher. Then we're going to be talking about The Art of Convening, Patricia and Greg Neal, and Staying Awake, A True Story of Life in Death. That is about a man's personal experience with his mother, her passing, and how it affected his life. So we've got a dynamic lineup of guests, and all of the guests are going to be, and their little brief bios will be up on the BBS radio website by Monday. So we'll have all of that posted there for you, so you'll be able to see who's going to be on the air with me next month. We just have so many nice people in this world, and it's just a delight to be able to have them on the show. Now, if you want to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008. Bill Mayer said, if you think you have it tough, read history books. And that is absolutely the truth. So many times it's easy to look at what is happening at any given moment. But by golly, if you sit down with some history books, pick any period you want, you're going to find that no matter what period you pick, whether it's the 1400s or the 1960s or whatever, pandemonium reigns in one place or another. It's fascinating when you read history. So that's always something that really is a wake-up call. It makes you realize we human beings seem to go through a repetitive patterning frequently. I was talking with someone earlier today that is really in a precarious situation that so many Americans are experiencing at this time, and that is a situation of foreclosure. And there is so much stuff that has been going on that's been coming out in the headlines, banks not doing record keeping properly, and how important it is for us to protect ourselves. I don't know about you, but we get on average in our mail every week anything from anywhere from 4 to 10 applications for refinancing every week. It comes from all kinds of stuff. They'll say, well, we represent the Veterans Association, or we're this, that, or the other, and boy, we're going to give you such a deal. It's unbelievable the amount of stuff that's being sent out regarding foreclosures. Well, I have some good tips to share with you. If you are having financial trouble, what you need to do, and I know we've got a caller. Well, why don't I take the caller first, and then I'll give you some information on how you can protect your home if you're going through some challenges. And this is worth noting. Okay, let's take our first caller of the day, first name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, Donna. My initial is M, and I'm calling from Tacoma, Washington.
You're in Tacoma. Hey, are you going to be able to come out and see me over at South Center at the Best Western tomorrow?
Oh, I'd love to. I don't know if I can, but I will try.
Oh, gee, I hope you can. It's going to be awesome. Absolutely awesome. Okay, M, let's get down to business with you. Don't you just love this sunshine we have? My goodness, the positive
one. Oh, it feels so good. I went for a walk on the waterfront here, and it was just beautiful this morning. Just beautiful.
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine. Okay, down to business. First thing, there is something that seems to be bothering your sinuses, and it's a very strange feeling I'm getting. It is going up through the upper part of the sinus cavity, and it seems like it's associated with the eye ducts. So I don't know if you're engaging in a hobby where maybe there are some
fumes or materials that create a dust that you might use, or maybe it's in a working environment. And I would say it might be wise, because of this that I'm sensing, the eyes seem to be getting on the dry side, and the tear ducts just don't seem to be manufacturing as much moisture as they would normally. So I think it would be good if you have protective goggles and or if you used a mask to keep you from absorbing whatever this is. And I'm really perplexed. I don't know what the agitator is, and that is something that I think you're going to have to be the detective with and figure it out. But once you figure out what it is and you take those measures that will protect your eyes and your sinuses, I don't think you'll have a problem. But this really almost is causing, when I'm feeling this, it's as if a headache can begin, and it would go up around the eyebrow area and then up into the top of my head. So the body's trying to fight whatever is agitating the sinuses, and that's just something, again, you're going to have to play detective to figure out what it is. Also, there is a short trip that's going to be coming up. You will have the opportunity to celebrate with some people the activities that are going to be meaningful to you and the individuals participating in the activity. I honestly don't know that it's family. It could be just a group of friends getting together to celebrate something. Maybe it's a high school reunion. I don't know. All I know is that it's just really worth your going. Even though it's not going to be a huge crowd of people, there's just such a sense of joy at being able to chat, to talk, to reconnect with some individuals you haven't seen for a while. And I think it's just going to be especially meaningful for you. And you're going to make more of a point of engaging in social activities that allow you to bring in new people into your life, because so many individuals you have known, they've either moved away or their lifestyle has changed, so there's not any interaction with them as it used to be. So this is an expansion of your personal life that I think is going to be especially meaningful to you. What question do you have for me today?
Well, I'm about to undertake a project here in my house. It's not too big of a project. I keep downsizing it with our economy kind of shifting here, and it's some work in my kitchen. And I kind of put it out to the universe, and I said, you know, send me the right people to work on this little house project. And boom, I got a phone call within 10 minutes about a couple that I know that would be interested in helping me with it. And they came over, and they said, you know what, we can do this, and we need to do this as inexpensively as possible. So I'm going to wait for their bid and make sure that their bid is on the up and up, but I just feel so good about it and hoping that you feel the same.
Well, what exactly? Are you remodeling your kitchen?
Not a big one.
Okay. Well, one thing I want you to consider, I really want you to, and your kitchen isn't that big, but I really want you to look at something that has to do with ventilation and also wiring. If you're going to have certain things done, that wiring, I'm looking at some very, very old wires. You need to have an electrician check your wiring setup. And if you need to go to the expense of upgrading your wiring, do it.
Okay.
Because otherwise there's a potential for a small fire. And I'll tell you what I'm looking at. This is just a warning. You just need to be aware. It looks like you might be getting some kind of a unit, like a small microwave, and that microwave is going to pull more power through the wiring, and it could all of a sudden just like go kaboom on you. And it might be a fairly new microwave. So, and it's not a giant one. It's like one that would be, you know, put underneath a cabinet so that it's up and off of the counter. And
well,
it's
going to be its own vent.
Well,
I now have microwaves that have a charcoal vent underneath, and that's what we were looking at.
Well, you want to really find out before you buy it. Number one, you want to make sure you check Consumer Reports or whatever to see what is the best one for you to buy. Number two, you need to have your wiring upgraded.
Okay.
Because I think there's going to be a conflict of electrical use. So it's just being wise.
Okay. That's terrific. Thank you for that advice. And
well, you're very welcome,
M and S helping me with this?
I would just say follow exactly what you feel you need to do.
Okay.
And you'll make the right decision. But I want you to have an electrician to look at that kitchen.
Okay. Sounds
make
good.
Make sure everything's on the up and up, hon. You have a fabulous weekend now.
Thank you so much for your enlightenment and your great show. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're more than welcome, Em. I'm so glad you enjoy the program. You have a fabulous day now.
Enjoy.
Bye-bye.
Tomorrow. Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I've got more good things to share, and I will share that information about how to protect your home. So we'll come back in just a bit.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone number to call in if you'd like to chat is 888-627-6008. Okay, if you know of anyone that's going through the challenge, as I know of some people that have had this challenge with foreclosure, don't try to get a loan modification on your own. This is something people are trying to do. They're trying to work with their banks or what have you, and I know it can really be a challenge. What is suggested is that you contact a HUD-approved housing counselor for help. If you do modify a loan, consider buying an owner's title insurance policy. Avoid using a title company or closing company that has a financial relationship with the lender. Also, you want to keep very good records. The consumer right groups are pushing for more homeowner protections in Congress, but hey, at the rate that other things are being accomplished, you may not get any help that way at all for a long, 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 long time. So keep records of all dealings with your loan server, including a journal of every phone call you make. Don't rely on anything the servicer tells you over the phone. Now, this is advice that comes from the National Consumer Law Center attorney, Diane Thompson. She said you need to get everything confirmed in writing. Now, if your house is scheduled for a foreclosure auction that gets canceled, show up anyway to make sure it's not still on the block. It has become all too common for people to find out that their home has been sold in error. And there's just all kinds of information about that. So I just wanted to share those few tips with you. Hey, have you got a pad of paper and a pen? I don't know about you, but I really like baked fries. Now, I don't typically eat French fries, but you can have these grilled, spicy grilled fries, and they are so easy. And if you don't have a grill, you don't need that. You can bake them in an oven. So this is something that is so easy. All you need is 4 Idaho baking potatoes, and they're about a half a pound each, or a little bit less than that, 6 to 8 ounces each. You need 1/4 cup of oil, 1 teaspoon of paprika, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of ground cumin, 1/2 teaspoon of garlic powder, and 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne pepper. Now, whisk all of your spices together. You know, your paprika, salt, cumin, garlic powder, cayenne pepper. Whisk it quickly in a little bowl. And then you want to take your potato, and you want to cut each of your potatoes in half lengthwise. And if you're going to do this on the grill obviously is going to have to be hot. If you want to do it in the oven, you're going to need your oven heated to 425 degrees. So that can be working into the position of being ready to cook your fries once you get them done. But this is so fast and so easy. And actually, you can do this recipe with any, you know, seasonings that you really, really enjoy. So the potato, you cut it in half lengthwise and cut each half into 1/2 inch wide slices. And then you've got your spices in a bowl, and what you want to do is add the oil to the spices in the bowl. Mix it thoroughly, and then add your potatoes. And the best way to do this is put everything in a plastic bag, and then put your potatoes in a plastic bag, you know, seal the plastic bag, and then just toss the bag, and every piece of potato will really be well seasoned and well covered with the oil. Then you want to, if you want to, you can divide it into 4 portions, 4 large pieces of heavy-duty foil, and you want to, you know, double fold the ends of the foil together to seal in your potatoes. You form packets. You can put the packets on the grill, and you grill, turning the packets over once until the potatoes are cooked through. Now, that's about 15 minutes each side. I like them done in the oven. All you have to do is put them on in a single layer on a baking pan, a jelly roll pan, or cookie sheet, and don't need to turn them. You just bake them until they are cooked through and crisp, and that takes about 16 to 18 minutes. Goes great with steak, whatever you have. Kids will love it, and you can always, again, adjust your seasonings in any way that you like. Really good stuff. Here in the Pacific Northwest, we are known for Bing cherries, but there's a little history about the Bing cherry, and it has a history that you would never imagine with that glorious piece of fruit. There was a violent political climate. There were 2 brothers that turned a profit from a graft, and just all kinds of things. And it all started in 1847. There was a pioneer nurseryman, Henderson Llewellyn, from Iowa. He traveled west on the Oregon Trail, and he had his wife, 8 kids, and an ox cart filled with 700 young plants. They were trees, apples, peaches, pears, plums, and he had some grapevines, nut trees, cherries, and he ended up in Milwaukee, Oregon. He planted all of the 700 young plants and set to work grafting trees. His brother, Seth, arrived in 1853, and the 2 brothers started a business offering 100,000 trees to those that had orchards for $1 to $1.50 each. Now, when the nurseryman, Henderson, left the business a year later, he moved to California. Seth expanded the nursery to 100 acres. He employed a number of Chinese immigrants. Among them was Ossip Bing, who had come to America from Manchuria. He was hired under a 35-year contract, and this Manchurian became Seth Llewellyn's friend and his foreman and was in charge of 30 workers. One day, when he was testing the rows that had to be checked, he found a heart-shaped cherry much darker and larger than the others. It also had a fabulous taste, so he and Llewellyn took cuttings from the tree and cultivated a new variety in 1875. To honor the friend's work at the nursery and to make a political statement concerning the strained relations between whites and Chinese workers in the Pacific Northwest at the time, Llewellyn named the cherry Bing, and they are enjoyed today. It's just absolutely amazingly delicious. So if ever you have a chance to be out in the Pacific Northwest, be sure you get some, especially during this time of the year. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. It's been a delight sharing the hour with you. Have a fabulous weekend. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Talk with you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.